The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Welcome into the Brad Sessmatt Show. I'm Jordan Hamm, filling in for the big guy. And as always, I have Eric Sorensen with me, Jared Nielsen, making sure we're looking and sounding good. Appreciate their help throughout the entire show, and have a great show for you. Peter King joining Brad Sessmatt to talk all things Cardinals, everything that's going on, the latest in the NFL. And then we also have Justin Spears of the Arizona Daily Star and the Total BS podcast with Saul Bookman. He does a great job covering Southern Arizona. We got to hear from the Pac-12 football coaches yesterday, and a lot of interesting stuff. Obviously, Kevin Sumlin still in quarantine after testing positive for the coronavirus. So a lot to dive in with both of those guys. So an exciting show, and we appreciate the support of all of our sponsors, but also Desert Financial Credit Union for their support of the Brad Sessmatt Show. Brad Sessmatt's Football AZ on Fox Sports Arizona as well. So a lot that we have going on here, and a lot going on in the world of sports. Eric, back in the Valley, had a couple of days off. Busy sports weekend. Just overall, how are things going?
Not bad. Not bad, Jordan. It's good to see you. I took a vacation to Middle America, to Omaha, Nebraska, and I did something that I know you and your fiance Sarah enjoy doing when you're on vacation. I ate. I ate a lot. I ate a really good steak. I ate at a bunch of really good restaurants because Omaha is a low-key food city. I don't think a lot of people know that. But the Midwest values and the people in the Midwest, it was nice because I had not left our great state since early January. So I made my escape to the Midwest, but it's good to be back and it's good to be with you.
Yeah, I got out of state, I think 2 weekends ago now? First time, I think, since February. Wow. Went to California. Older brother got married in a very small, immediate family-only ceremony. They had pushed back a couple of times. But yeah, like you said, it was good to, you know, see some different settings here. Get some different weather as well. But overall, have a lot going on here in the state. Cardinals, after hot start 2-0, now 2-2, taking on the Jets, the Joe Flacco Jets. And we've seen some flashes from Sam Darnold. We've seen some bad from Sam Darnold. The thing about the Jets, I don't know how much you can decipher what is Sam Darnold's fault and what is it just being a Jets problem fault. The fact Joe Flacco is now taking things over, does that make you more confident for the Cardinals or less confident?
That's a great question. I was watching the Broncos-Jets game, I believe it was last week on Thursday Night Football. My buddy's a really big Broncos fan. And I mentioned to him, no lie, Jordan, I was like, that guy looks a lot like Joe Flacco. Oh my God, it is Joe Flacco. He's still playing? Like, he's still in the NFL? I don't really know what you can decipher from the Jets, but I'm also sort of asking myself the same thing about the Cardinals. You know, the shine is definitely off the penny. I mean, you start 2-0, and you have two very, I believe, winnable games. Yes, the Panthers, they had to travel across country, but that's a game that the Cardinals probably should have won. They no-showed. Honestly, I didn't see a lot of the game. But now all those high, lofty expectations have sort of been pushed to the back. And now it's like, okay, let's see if the Cardinals can beat the Jets and then just go from there.
Yeah, it is weird how quickly things can change in the NFL, where it's this team has a chance to go 5-0. And obviously that's an impossibility now. But now it's... Yeah, now we have to debate whether this game against the Jets, who's been a bottom feeder in the NFL, if this is actually going to be a game, and going back to the East Coast and, you know, all of those various storylines. You know, Kyler Murray has, I think, kind of taken a bit of a step back with the three interceptions against the Lions and then kind of the dink and dunk they had on last Sunday. So, yeah, the evolution of the NFL season is always crazy. And then you throw in a shortened offseason and the loom of the coronavirus over your head. The Tennessee Titans positives are now up to 23 cases. So that's in the back of your mind as well.
But yeah, it's I don't think it, this is a bit of an obvious statement, but yeah, you're gonna be hitting some red buttons and probably picking up some red phones if things go poorly on Sunday for the Arizona Cardinals.
And let's not sugarcoat the fact that the Jets are a really bad team. I mean, the Jets are one of the worst teams in the NFL. So if the Cardinals can't beat the Jets, we're going to be sitting here on Monday, and the outlook on the rest of the season is going to look completely different. Not that you know, the Cowboys are world beaters either, but you just have to figure out a way to win in the NFL. And like you said, so many distractions this year, and it's just been expect the unexpected, I guess.
Well, good point, because all of the extra glitz and glam that come with a Sunday night game, a Monday night game. I would say a Thursday night game, but usually that's more of a panic, just trying to get things turned around so quickly. But with a Monday night game, all national eyes are going to be on the Cardinals. If you're an Arizona fan, you obviously want them to perform well, but also the lead up is important to that. You want the storylines to be good that, okay, they're 3-2. They had a couple, they took a couple shots here and there over the season, but they're able to right the ship. Kyler Murray's coming off of a great game. DeAndre Hopkins, Larry Fitzgerald's now involved. Those are the storylines you want, not, hey, you might have potentially stolen a game from a hurt San Francisco 49ers team and then, you know, got another win against a not great Washington Redskins team, and now you're just limping along.
I'm going to catch you.
Washington football team. First time I've done that live. But
And speaking of that, best of luck to Kyle Allen, who is the guy this weekend for the Washington Football Club. So Dwayne Haskins, that experiment, I guess, has failed. I mean, they're pretty much saying that. And honestly, Jordan, the fact that they're even talking about Alex Smith returning would easily be one of, if not the greatest sports stories of 2020. So,
that is a movie that should be done
now.
Tomorrow. Yeah, and you know, Mark Wahlberg usually finds these true stories and turns them in about a year and a half. So expect the Alex Smith story just a couple of years from now. We are going to take a quick break. Again, a lot to get to over this next segment. Coyotes and their draft have some news on their roster as well. Also, MLB playoffs going on. A lot of fun games. Also had Peter King and Justin Spears here in a little bit. Make sure to keep it to the Brad Sessmatt Show. Welcome back to the Brad Sessmatt Show. Jordan Hamm alongside Eric Sorensen. Appreciate Jared Nielsen on the other side of the virtual glass, making sure we look and sound good. So Arizona Coyotes had the draft, didn't have a pick until pick 111 due to some of the deals that they've made previously, but a busy time of year with them. Also, Taylor Hall and Coyotes sound like they're going to part ways mutually. He's going to be an unrestricted free agent, obviously a big addition to the roster. Didn't quite pan out, but that's kind of the news with the Coyotes, and you should follow Andrew Bell on Sports 360 AZ. He does a great job with all things Arizona Coyotes. Were you able to catch up on yesterday? The Pac-12 had essentially a media day, a coach's webinar. Were you able to get caught up on any of the news of the day from those?
I was not. I was on a plane for most of that, but it was good that they did that, and I know that we're all excited to hopefully see some Pac-12 football sooner than later. Being back in Big Ten country, they're like counting the minutes until the Big Ten season starts. So what were some of the big takeaways? I mean, obviously, I know what happened with Sumlin and the COVID.
Yeah, so yeah, that was kind of the bulk of Coach Sumlin's availability was how he's feeling. You know, he said he's asymptomatic. Both him and his son are asymptomatic. And it was kind of fun. And I talked with Justin Spears about this prior to the show. And you guys will get a little glimpse of this. He still had that feistiness. He had mid-season form feistiness on some questions, you know, asking about the college football playoff. And he'd give a one-word answer and they'd try to follow up. And he's like, what? I answered the question. And so, like, for me, that kind of felt nice. Like, it's like, oh, we have a sense of normalcy here of, you know, some coach feistiness. This is good. And then obviously ASU, you know, they have some pretty high expectations this year. And all eyes are going to be on them and USC kicking things off at 9 a.m. So a lot of questions about
all right, what time are you getting to the field? When do you leave the hotel? What time are these guys getting up? You know, it, how I can see the advantage, disadvantage for both sides. Obviously, a big test for ASU. I think if you're a Sun Devil fan, you'd like to see a ramp-up game before USC. But at the same time, they've had – Arizona State has had a lot more time to condition, to work out in team settings because of the jurisdictions and the various protocols, a little more lenient than California. So you might be able to kind of, you know, sneak one in while they're still getting the shaking the rust off. So, but yeah, was able to hear about all things Hamilco Rashid over at Oregon State, former Chandler outside linebacker, Jamari Joyner. Sounds like he's getting back. He had foot surgery back in May, but sounds like he's going to be ready to go for Grant Gannell. So, but yeah, it's just nice to have the Pac-12 back and, you know, seeing those familiar names pop up.
I'm glad that you brought up that ASU-USC start time. And I know Brad put out a tweet a few days ago that he's okay with the 9 a.m. start because that's going to be greater exposure on the East Coast. And my response to that would be, well, you could start the game at 12:30, and that's still 3:30 on the East Coast and right in the middle of everyone's college football Saturday. I don't know. Like, a 9 a.m. kickoff, really? Like, with arguably the two best teams in the South, you know, that we say the Pac-12 can't get out of its own way. And I don't know if I don't know if that was a TV decision. I don't know if that was a money deal that they had set up with the network. I'm not totally familiar with that, but it just doesn't seem right. But you know what? Let's just play football and see what happens. Like you said, this has been a weird year, and expect the unexpected. So why not have ASU play at USC at 9 in the morning on a Saturday?
Yeah, but it's like a weird Mad Lib. Like, yeah, let's just have these two teams at, sure, 9 a.m. Most of the coaches, I will say, that were asked about it were fine with it. I don't think there were a couple that were like, yeah, I like this idea. David Shaw was the one. And usually when David Shaw speaks about the bigger issues of the conference, I'll typically listen because he has his ear to the ground pretty well and, you know, has a good gauge of the heartbeat of the conference. But he was very much in opposition of that. Just like, look, even on the night before games, like, guys are antsy. They aren't going to be going to bed at 9 p.m. Like, their body clocks just don't work that way.
So right.
You can't do, you know, that's a very much a square peg round hole type thing where it's like, yeah, they'll just go to bed earlier. And it's just like, you're not, especially first game, you know, you don't know how many games you're going to have. So I'm sure the pressure's on that much more, but yeah, again, great to hear from kind of all the coaches and everything going
and,
on.
And maybe that. And maybe Jordan, this is just a 180 degree turn from what we're used to with the Pac-12, because I know you and I have been standing on the sidelines at Sun Devil Stadium for a 7:30 kick, and the earlier game is, you know, Washington State, Oregon State, and it's 71-70, and there's still 10 minutes left in the fourth quarter.
Yeah,
and that 7:35 start suddenly turns into like a 7:56 start. Mm-hmm. So maybe it's just the complete opposite. They're just doing it early in the morning instead of very late at night.
Yeah. What? Pac-12 after dusk? No, that's not what it is.
After dawn. Pac-12 after dawn. There it is.
There we go. We'll take our marketing check now.
Yeah. Whoever is watching this on the stream, don't steal that.
Yeah. And again, to that point, yeah, the Pac-12 after dark is great, but those are predominantly our West Coast friends or West Coast media friends that are tweeting about this, or like the very, very, very diehards.
Sure.
But, you know, I've spent a little bit of time on the East Coast trying to watch a game on the West Coast. Yes, it's impossible.
I was thinking about you on Tuesday night, okay? Okay. So I haven't been really watching a ton of the Major League Baseball playoffs, but I'm really intrigued by Dodgers Padres. So yeah. On Tuesday, I asked my friend who I was staying with, like, hey, can we watch the Dodgers Padres game? And he said, sure. Why don't we go to dinner? And then I have to run a couple errands. And then after dinner, we'll come back and we'll watch it. And I was like, well, okay. But we're going to have to eat dinner early. And he's like, oh, no, it's an 8:39 first pitch. Central Standard Time. So you're absolutely right. Like, sporting events in the Midwest and the East end so much later until you're actually in one of those time zones. It makes you really appreciate that we're on the West Coast and we get the more suitable start times.
So. Yeah, I had lived for a little bit in New York in college. And when Matt Cain threw his perfect game, I saw exactly one out of that perfect game. And then I saw the rest of it through my eyelids. Because it was 10:30 and I had to work the next morning, and
that's
so
it.
That's the dynamics of it. But yeah, just again, glad to have football back, Pac-12 football. Good to hear from some of those familiar voices. Coming up next, we have Peter King with Brad Sesmat talking all things NFL. A lot going on throughout the league with the coronavirus on the field. Again, so much to cover, and no one is better than Peter King. That's coming up next on the Brad Sesmat Show.
As promised, now all things around the National Football League. Peter King is with us. Football Morning in America, if you've not bookmarked it, every Monday morning, if you've not blocked out at least 45 minutes to an hour, you have to do it, or just take it in small chunks. Peter is with us, the Peter King podcast with Matt Rhule, who Carolina took down the Cardinals over the weekend. Larry Fitzgerald has 4 receiving yards in the last 2 games combined, by the way. And I know we talk about Fitz every week. Yeah, it's kind of like when I saw Emmett at the end out here, and it's not that point yet because the Cardinals offense is 21st in the NFL, which I think is a surprise to a lot of people. But, you know, Matt Rhule just took it to him. I don't know if you had a chance to see any of that game at all, but where the Cardinals are at 2-2, a disappointing couple of weeks.
Yeah, you know what? I feel bad, but I only saw what I saw on Red Zone, unfortunately. It was that kind of week.
Yeah.
But, you know, the way I sort of look at the Cardinals right now, you know, I was thinking about it coming on today. And so every Monday and Tuesday – I try to take some time and look at the team's alphabetical order. I look at their stats. You know, luckily for me, the NFL, or I don't know who does it, but they have these, 12-minute highlight packages on every game. So I can speed watch every game. Mm. And the one thing I was going to say to you is, I was going to say two things. A and B, or 1 and 2. I was going to say that the running game does not look the same. And so I went and looked it up, after I watched the highlights from the other day. And it just really hasn't looked the same in the first month. And I watched the highlight and I looked at the stats. And, Kenyon Drake last year was 5.2 a carry, and this year he's 3.8. The one other thing is, I think, look, and far be it for me to tell Cliff Kingsbury what to do, you know, I think that you can't, with the speed at receiver, with Andy Isabella emerging a little bit now, I just think you got to continue to stretch the field. Mm-hmm. And, the one number that really pops to me is 9.3 yards per catch on the team. I mean, that's really low, you know? And so to me, I kind of look at them as, I think we all thought, Bill Parcells had this famous statement that you never pick up 1 year where you left off the previous year. And I just thought, like everybody thought, that, oh, well, they're going to be first or second or third in rushing. You know, Kyler Murray is going to continue his ascension and all this. And, you know, you forget that you've got to play again in this year, in a very, very odd year, obviously, because there's no off-season program. So that's going to affect different teams different ways. And obviously, in terms of continuity, it's affected the Cardinals on offense.
Well, in their offensive line, DJ Humphreys was on roller skates the other day, and that's been a concern for them the last couple of weeks. And, again, Peter has Matt Rhule. You can hear him on his podcast. That brings us to the Jets. The Jets stink. Why is it the Jets always stink? So the Cardinals have to go back there. I've heard the field is bad. The 49ers said the field's terrible. Fill me in on that. Why do the Jets stink out loud every stinking year, Peter?
You know, this is going to be a very interesting game. And I mean that, Brad.
Yeah,
I mean, because I'm going to put it to you this way, that this is not a throw your helmet on the field game for the Cardinals, and you'll win. You know, this is, and the reason is, if you look at where the Jets are and what their schedule is the rest of the way, I would argue this is their best chance for a win in 2020. And everybody in Arizona would say, are you kidding me? You think the Jets might win? Look, strange things happen when desperate teams play.
Yeah.
Sam Darnold is desperate to look like the pick that, you know, he was 4 years ago so that he can, or 3 years ago, so that he can keep his job. Living in New York, all you hear on the talk shows and in the paper, well, you know, you're going to get the first pick and they're taking Trevor Lawrence. I don't doubt either one of them could happen or will happen, but Sam Darnold has something to say about that, something to do about that, and he's got to do it this week. Now, it shouldn't happen. The Cardinals should win this game. But as you know, very strange things happen when teams travel to the East Coast from the western part of the United States. It's happened forever in the history of the NFL. And the Cardinals have to be careful because the Jets know that basically, if you look at their schedule, this is it.
Peter King with us, Football Morning in America. To that end, it's not just the Jets for the Cardinals. The Dallas Cowboys are coming, and then the Seattle Seahawks are coming. The schedule is getting much more difficult for the Cardinals. And we have a lot of Cowboy fans here in Arizona. They're everywhere, obviously, but for years before the Cardinals came to Arizona, all they showed were Dallas Cowboy games. And the Cowboy fans are livid because, again, their team isn't very good. I get a lot of notes saying, can you ask Peter about what is wrong with the Cowboys? And it's, we don't have War and Peace here. He cannot do a Netflix documentary on what's wrong with the Cowboys. But in a nutshell, what is going on in Dallas, Peter?
You know, I think there's basically three things that are wrong with the Dallas Cowboys. I think with new defensive coordinator Mike Nolan, who, you know, if you look at it, Brad, how strange bedfellows Mike Nolan and Mike McCarthy.
Yeah.
In 2005, Mike Nolan was the head coach of the San Francisco 49ers. His offensive coordinator was Mike McCarthy, and they ended up picking Alex Smith over Aaron Rodgers as quarterback. Now it's 15 years later, and Mike McCarthy's got this great chance in Dallas, and he hires Mike Nolan to be his defensive coordinator. And so I kind of look at this. The one thing that really bothers me about the defense and the way the defense is playing is sort of the way the defense was designed, Brad, because if you look at it, they really spent a lot of time and salary cap money and energy in getting Everson Griffin, Aldon Smith, in boosting the edge rush. But what they didn't do, they didn't boost the interior of the line. So, you know, Brad, I think one of the most alarming statistics through the first quarter of the season, Dallas has given up 172 rushing yards a game. That is absolutely stunning how bad it is. And I don't see any sign it's going to get better either. What Mike McCarthy needs to do is walk into Mike Nolan's office and say, Mike, simplify things. Mm. All right. That's number one. Number two, I think that as great as Dak Prescott has been in terms of productivity and everything, this offense, in my opinion, it's so deep threat oriented. It's so, when they drafted CeeDee Lamb, you almost said, my God, they're going to have so many weapons. And it's like Mike McCarthy is so busy taking advantage of those weapons, rightfully so, that there is no way, absolutely no way, that this team should be 23rd in the NFL in rushing through one quarter of the season, but they are. Why is that? It's not because they can't run, okay? It's because so far they have chosen not to run. Okay. And that is something that needs to change immediately. And I would say the last thing, look, Mike McCarthy was out of football for a year. He is, and I know this, Brad, for a fact. So tell all the fans, all the people who listen to you and watch you, it's really important for them to realize that Mike McCarthy is changing, not radically, but changing some as a head coach. He wants to be more analytics driven. He feels it's the right way. And there are going to be some times where it looks kind of insane. You score a touchdown to go down 9, and instead of kicking the extra point, you go for 2. You shouldn't do that. You should kick the extra point so you're down 8. If you miss the 2-point conversion and you stay down 9, it's a 2-score game. If you get it to 8, it's a 1-score game, obviously. So he's made some mistakes. But I think he's made those mistakes by trying to become better as a head coach. And you and I could sit here and say, well, this is not an experimental job coaching the Dallas Cowboys. And I get it. But in my opinion, Mike McCarthy is going to be a good head coach there. I just think the whole team right now is a bit of a work in progress.
Really interesting stuff. Before I get you out of here, Peter King, Football Morning in America, quarter poll of the season, Russell Wilson, Patrick Mahomes, MVP.
I think there are four people who are, you know, one of these four guys should probably win the MVP, but it's so close right now, Brad. To me, it's in some order, Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen. You cannot take Josh Allen out of the equation now.
He's been amazing.
Because like, and this is just sort of how I view it, okay? At the start of the season, would you have thought that Buffalo was going to have a top five offense? I wouldn't, and yet they're playing to that level right now. Josh Allen is radically better in terms of passing efficiency. They're 4-0, and it is on his shoulders. Russell Wilson has been utterly fantastic. Aaron Rodgers, 13 touchdowns, no interceptions. And on Monday, his star receiver is a guy who nobody outside of Ashwaubenon, Wisconsin, has ever heard of, Robert Tonyan. And so, you know, he is doing it with a lot less than any of the other three guys are doing it. And obviously Mahomes, if you voted for Mahomes almost any year, I'd understand. He's a magician. I think he is our present day Michael Jordan in sports. Mm. And so those are my four guys. If you ask me to pick one right now to fall on a sword and I had to pick one, I'd pick Aaron Rodgers just because his supporting cast has been, is the least good, I should say.
Yeah, without Devontae Adams the other night, I mean, it was really spectacular what he did on the field. I appreciate your time and your insight as always. Stay safe. Talk next week. Thanks, Peter.
All the best, Brad. Take care.
Welcome back to the Brad Sesmatt Show. Jordan Hamm here filling in, and we are joined by Justin Spears of the Arizona Daily Star, also the Total BS Podcast. And Justin, this is one of my favorite things that's come out of, you know, quarantine and the pandemic. You and Saul Bookman do a great job on that podcast. How did you guys come together and build this? I know you guys have been friends for a while, but cool to see you creating content together.
Man, thank you so much, by the way. It's an honor. And, you know, Saul and I, we've known each other ever since the college days. You know, I still remember the phone call to this day where I saw a Florida area code come up on my phone. I was like, who the hell from Florida is calling me? And, you know, he said, hey, I'm Saul Bookman, former military member, just looking to get my feet wet into the journalism industry. And I heard that, you know, you're the guy to talk to at the U of A. Well, we start working together. Saul is an unbelievable leader. Like his progress and how he's transcended in this industry is just unbelievable. And Saul and I, since we worked together in college, when we left the U of A, it was like, well, that's it. You know, we did such a great job working together and we feed off each other. Like, we are such a great team. We knew that couldn't be the end of it after college. So We decided a couple years later down the road where both of us have a little bit more time, let's create this podcast, and we're going to call it Total BS because Bookman Spears. It's not just us talking a bunch of BS. Mm-hmm. No, the title actually has a really good meaning to it. And, you know, I couldn't think of a better person to do this podcast with than Saul. And I'm just really glad that he thinks the same of me. And, you know, we've had some great guests. We've had Freddie Coleman from ESPN. We've had Sarah Spain. Most recently, we've had the directors from an HBO documentary that recently came out called Wild Card, The Downfall of a Radio Loudmouth, which talks about Craig Carton and how the host of Boomer and Carton was gambling on the side and essentially punted his career away. So we've had great guests, great content, and it's such a fun topic, and I can't thank you enough for bringing it up.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's a great podcast, and excited to see what you guys do moving forward.
Thank you.
So on the U of A side, we had our virtual Pac-12. I think they called it a coaches webinar, where all the coaches able to talk to the media, give an update on the program. I know all eyes were sort of on Arizona because of Kevin Sumlin and his recent positive test for coronavirus. Just what was the big takeaway from you? And I guess let's backtrack a little bit. Just what was the reaction in Tucson, in Southern Arizona, when that news came out that Coach Sumlin had tested positive?
Mm-hmm. Well, a number of responses. You had a few U of A fans talk about how unsafe it was, or how Kevin Sumlin didn't really, I wouldn't say follow proper protocol, but you know, when you hear your head coach harp on being safe, following protocols, and then he tests positive, a lot of people looked at that and kind of squinted their eyes a little bit. But a lot of people gave Kevin Sumlin his well wishes and wished that, you know, he had a speedy recovery and he could be able to come back on the field. But, you know, Kevin Sumlin was feisty in the coaches webinar.
He was.
He was feisty. And, you know, there were a couple questions. I felt bad. It was the same reporter who asked him two questions, and I think he probably got a grand total of three words out of Kevin Sumlin. You know, like one of the questions was, okay, so you don't have Colin Schooler and Tony Fields. You know, what are you going to do about the linebacker spot? And he was like, I don't know. We didn't start camp yet.
Yeah.
And then the same reporter asked him about the college football playoff expansion. And he said, yep, that's it.
Yeah.
And he was just a feisty guy. You know, when he talked about COVID-19 and, you know, testing positive, he was hunkered down in his house, his million-dollar home in Tucson, Arizona, out in the foothills. And, you know, he said, I don't have any symptoms. I'm going to be fine. You know, I'm a week into this thing. We're going to see how I feel after the weekend. He's going to miss Arizona's Friday practice and Saturday practice, and he might just miss the entire weekend. But he could be back as soon as next week. So who knows?
Yeah, I watching that webinar with Coach Sumlin, it felt like it was mid-season form for him in his level of feistiness that he had. With that, you know, talking about the so many transfers and a lot of it comes down to they didn't know if the Pac-12 was going to be playing. So, you know, it's been a tough spot for a lot of these Pac-12 players, whether they opt out, whether they, you know, jump to a different program in a different conference. But some huge names no longer on that defense. And I think a lot of guys that Coach Sumlin and Coach Rhodes were relying on, especially defensively, where do they go from here trying to not necessarily replace a Colin Schooler? I don't think he can necessarily do that, but kind of help shoulder that load when so many key pieces on the defense are now moving on. And it finally felt like the defense was starting to make a little bit of progress here.
It's tough. Arizona probably had the worst offseason out of any Pac-12 school because the league announced no football until the spring. So when you have guys like Colin Schooler and Tony Fields, players who are trying to improve their draft stock, they're thinking, okay, well, I'm not going to play this condensed season in the spring. I want to get as much film and get as many eyes on me as possible. So let me go to a conference that's going to play football. Colin Schooler went to Texas Tech. Tony Fields went to West Virginia. But you look at their career at Arizona, they never missed a game. Not a single game. I believe it was 37 games that they both started and combined for, I think it's either nearly 600 tackles or over 600 tackles. I don't have the numbers right in front of me. But that's a lot of production that is away from your defense. And when you have a completely new defensive staff, new defensive coordinator, new linebackers coach, everything is new on the defensive side of the ball. You need as many veterans players as possible. And Arizona just doesn't have that. And the wishy-washy decisions by the Pac-12 cost them that. Because if they knew that football was going to be played at this time, Colin Schooler wouldn't have left Arizona. He loves playing for Arizona. He loved being that defensive captain for the Wildcats on defense. Tony Fields the same way. I interviewed him right when he announced his decision to transfer, and he said if it wasn't for COVID, I'd still be playing at Arizona. So now you have two veteran linebackers. On top of that, Jace Whitaker, your leading cornerback, is now gone playing for the Arizona Cardinals. And Scotty Young Jr., probably your most productive safety, also transferred and is now at West Virginia. So there are a lot of holes on the defensive side of the ball. Now, who's going to step in for those guys, for the linebacker spots? You have Darion Clark, who's a freshman last year. He's from Texas. Played mostly special teams. He's expected to fill in that role. And then you have Anthony Pandy, who was that third guy that everyone talked about alongside Colin Schooler and Tony Fields and Kevin Sumlin always talked about. We got to find a way to get all three of those guys on the field rather than have Tony and Colin and have Anthony rotate in. Anthony's probably going to be Arizona's most effective defensive player this season. So he's going to be that number one guy at the linebacker spot. But, you know, there's a reason why the media voted Arizona to finish last, not only the Pac-12 South, but the number of votes they received was even lower than Washington State. And it's because new defensive staff, a lot of holes on that side of the ball. And while, you know, Grant Gunnell, that offense might put up some points, if Arizona's not stopping some teams and they're going right into Pac-12 play, it could be a long year.
With Grant Gunnell, we got to see glimpses of him. It was sometimes it was, you'd see him for a half. He'd split time with Khalil Tate. Other times he'd take over completely. What steps do you want to see out of him now being the guy and making sure he's a premier Pac-12 quarterback here moving forward for the duration of a shortened season?
Well, he doesn't have the Khalil Tate factor. He doesn't have that guy waiting if he messes up and then the original starter can go back in. You know, you see Grant Gunnell's face on tweets and posters, and they're pretty much saying, this is our guy. This is the new face of the program, so we're going to ride with him. And I think Grant Gunnell, even as a freshman going into a sophomore year, he displayed leadership this past season or in the off season, joining the We Want to Play movement and being one of the Arizona players that put pressure on the Pac-12 to get this season back. So Kevin Sumlin praised his leadership off the field, but he also said that he's made great progress on the field as well. He's going to have some pretty good targets. Like, he's going to have Jamari Joyner to throw to. I think Stanley Berryhill might find a role on this year's team. Tavion Cunningham, who's a really fast wide receiver. Jalen Johnson, another big, tall wide receiver. And then Booby Curry, who was his high school teammate. And they've already had an established connection before Arizona. So, you know, he's going to have some targets to throw to. Plus, he's also got a really great running back core. Gary Brightwell is back for another season. I don't know if you saw this, but apparently he's wearing number zero this year for Arizona. I'm like, man, I've never seen a number zero in football. I think that's going to be really cool. And Gary Brightwell is such a confident person. Like, I remember we were talking to him about his 40-yard dash, and I think my colleague, Michael Lev, asked him, so do you run a 4.3? And he said, Gary Brightwell runs a 4.3. Like he talked about himself in third person, was so confident.
That's when you know
that
it's real.
That he runs a 4.3. Like, you know, a guy is real when he uses himself as third person. And then you also have, you know, Michael Wiley. I'm interested to see what the freshman and Jalen John and Frank Brown does. You know, Grant Gunnell has options. He really does. And now that he's been under Noel Mazzone, the offensive coordinator, for an entire season, he's absorbed everything that Mazzone wants from him and expects from him. I think this could be a huge year for Grant Gunnell. It's going to be much better than last year because he's going to have more playing time and he's going to have more games under his belt. And like I said, Khalil Tate not being there, he's the guy and he knows it.
Talking to Justin Spears, Arizona Daily Star, Total BS podcast. Let's shift gears to the high school scene in Southern Arizona. I know Sal Point was playing. The Tucson schools have a schedule laid out now. We're moving forward. They can now complete a portion of the season. But just wanted to get a sense of what the scene is like right now. What's the level of optimism to get the bulk of this season done? And because I know at least up here, it felt like it was up and down every other week. It was, you know, there was reasons for optimism, but also plenty of reasons of like, is this actually going to happen? So how is it in Southern Arizona teams are getting closer and closer to actually kicking off a season?
It's weird. It's weird. I do my weekly high school picks for the Arizona Daily Star, and I'm so used to a full list of games, at least by October. Mm-hmm. And now, you know, I recently just did my picks with South Point Catholic going into a two-week quarantine for a player testing positive. There's only two Southern Arizona teams playing this week, and they're both on the road, so I'm not covering any games this week. So Push Ridge is playing Yuma Catholic this week. And then Buena from Sierra Vista, mm-hmm. they're going up and to play Paradise Valley. And it's the second week in a row they're playing someone that they didn't initially schedule. So they were supposed to play or they weren't supposed to play anybody. It was Santan Valley Combs. And they had a game scheduled against Queen Creek Cactus Shadows and a team outbreak on Cactus Shadows. So they called up Buena and said, hey, can you get up here in a couple of days? So Buena, on like 2 days' notice, scheduled this team, went up on the road, beat them. And then now this week, they had a game against South Point Catholic. That game got postponed for the 23rd. And now Paradise Valley says, hey, you guys want to play us? Come up. So now they got to travel again to play a team that they hadn't already scheduled before. And It's so weird. It's really bizarre because I was interested to see how the environment was last Friday night when I went to South Point Catholic. And, you know, Jordan, you've been down to South Point many times. It's a really cool environment. Like, yeah. It's kind of dark because it's right next to a neighborhood. You can't really see the fans sitting in the stands, but it's loud, the energy is there, and it's so fun to be at that environment. And it was about half full, while Casa Grande side, there were no fans in the stands at all. Mm-hmm. So the energy just wasn't the same. There were times where it felt like it was kind of back to normal, but it's not the same. It's not the same high school football in Tucson that I remember. And fortunately, a lot of teams in Southern Arizona have their schedules set up for October 30th. That is the start date for pretty much every single team in Southern Arizona to start at. So, you know, teams are going to have bye weeks. Teams are just going to go right into it. And there's going to be a 6 or 7 game schedule for a lot of these teams. And will that be enough for a Sal Point to get into the open division while other Phoenix teams are, you know, playing their schedule and not having any postponements? That's going to be really tough. But, you know, I could also see Southern Arizona doing something for their teams, having a championship for Tucson, because that's what we all play for, right? these kids want to play for something. And if they're not going to have an opportunity to play for the open division, or, you know, if playoffs look a little murky, and I'm not sure how that's going to be set up, give these guys something to play for and have a little bit of pride for the end of the season. So I don't know what Southern Arizona is going to do in terms of postseason play, because they're so behind the ball compared to Phoenix, but it should be interesting.
Yeah, a lot. I think the theme of this football season certainly is going to be flexibility for everybody involved. But Justin, yeah, we appreciate the time. Thank you so much for your insight, and as always, being willing to jump on and talk some sports with us.
Anything for you, Jordan. Thank you.
All right. That is Justin Spears, Arizona Daily Star, Total BS Podcast. And this is the Brad Sesmatt Show.